The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. What's happening, party people? It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.com. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Radio's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin alongside, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. What is happening?
Nothing much, man. How you doing? I like the party people drop.
I was always with the party people. Straight beard hair, by the way. Just want to point that out in the one.
You know, you really get in my head here recently, okay?
Oh, sorry. Oh. Just one hair sticks out, and then I see it in the darkness of the door, and it's distracting.
Why don't you fix it for me? Come on.
Maybe I will. Hour number 2, Felica and Fezzik, Chris Felica from Fox Sports, soccer, horses, I don't know, baseball. We got some golf from him. That much I do know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably should have led with Masters since we know that much.
That much we know. He's got some Masters plays that will still be available by the time of his appearance, we trust, with guys yet to tee off, obviously, as the day moves on here. So Felica will be here. And then Fezzik Friday, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Super Contest, who joins me later to talk all things on his mind. And those things include prop swap. A little bit of a scandal. Is that too big of a word?
Yeah.
For it? Yeah, maybe too big of a word.
No. Probably.
It's interesting. It's accurate. Interesting little case study over there, prop swap. And I think Stevie and me are going to get into it about something regarding 100 wins in the Dodgers.
So I'm sitting there yesterday in a group text message with Gil and Steve Fezzik. And at 3 different times, I think to myself, Gil, I'm like, I'm going to start typing. Whoa, guys, save this for air.
Yeah.
And then some real nerdy math stuff starts happening. I'm like, never mind. This is probably better on a text message conversation. Yeah. And then someone said something again. I'm like, well, whoa, save this. Oh, no, here comes more nerdy math. Never mind.
I look forward to these kinds of point counterpoints with Steve Fezzik a little later on the show. UFC 314, Jordan Sherwood will join us to give us his bets on what is a nice UFC card this weekend. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. NBA awards, by the way, 1 weekend now left. 3 days left in the NBA season. How about the Warriors back into the playoffs as a 6 seed after the Grizzlies lose yesterday?
Only 2, because for whatever reason, they don't have games tomorrow.
Yeah, that's correct. They do that every year.
This
now.
Is something I forget like every yes. year, and I always hit like this point, and I'm like, why?
They do it because of playoff implication, potential playoff implications. They want everybody playing at the together, same time on Sunday. That's right. So 2 games left in the NBA season, and we will talk about the awards that are largely not up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they take them down 2 games before the end of the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, we talk about this with the NFL. We're like, I get it. You got to take it down at some point, but there's more voters than there are in the NFL.
You just leave them up for 2 more games.
And why now, right? Why not 3 days ago? Why?
And we're only playing a game of done or not done basically what we're playing with those. And we start, of course. Let me just get this out of the way first before we get to the Masters, the 89th Masters. One is we're back in Sacktown tonight. So a little baseball in Sacramento, 14,000 seat stadium there at Sutter Health Stadium in Sacramento. The Oakland A's hosting the New York Mets. And the question becomes, are we back on the overtrain today? Are we back on the overtrain, Kelly? I hear it far and wide. That's the question. And the answer to the question is no, I am not on the overtrain today in that game. And the reason is because, you know why? We have 2 ground ball pitchers.
I've been saying that about Sears for years.
J.P. Sears of the Athletics, Griffin Canning of the Mets, mainly ground ball pitchers. So for me, and my reasoning as to why I play the overs, that is a non-play for me tonight.
I'm just tailing you on these, man, but it is. We're already out to 9.5, 10 on that total. And like we talked about yesterday, cat's out of the bag. People know about this. People are going to bet it anyways. I think you got to pick your be smart and pick your spots with pitchers.
Now, if it gets 11 runs in the first inning, you can hate me, but I'm not playing. Not one for me tonight. Okay, to the 89th Masters, where after the first round yesterday, Justin Rose had himself a 3-stroke lead over Ludwig Ober, Corey Connors, and Scottie Scheffler, the pre-flop and current favorite still, Scottie Scheffler. To win the 89th Masters at Augusta. Justin Rose out to a nice little start here to begin round number 2. He is 1-under through 3. He birdied the second hole. So Justin Rose increases his lead by a stroke. He is 8-under for the tournament. And didn't JVT come on the show this week and say he took Justin Rose at 100-1 to win this? I believe he did.
Oh, man. Someone did. I was trying to remember.
I think it was
who.
Jonathan Von Tobel.
It was a very, look, Rose was a very popular first round leader bet because he's.
I don't think he had him first round leader.
And I don't think he brought that up either.
I think he had him for the full tournament.
But good for everybody to cash that yesterday because he's now been the leader at Augusta after the first round five times. Something to note for going forward.
Justin Rose, who has one major to his name. He won the 2013 U.S. Open. He finished runner up at the Masters twice. 2015, he was runner up to Jordan Spieth, the chatty Jordan Spieth. And in 2017, he was runner up to Sergio Garcia, of course. So Justin Rose trying to win his first green jacket. He, by the way, in the updated Masters odds, Scottie Scheffler, as I mentioned, still the short shot. Scottie Scheffler plus 210 to win it, four strokes back currently. He has not teed off yet today. And then Ludvig Åberg plus 550. Justin Rose 6-1. I believe this might have moved here in the last 10 minutes, though, where Justin Rose might be the second in the second position. Obviously, check who.
Yeah,
we are live-ish odds.
Live-ish. Yeah, we're about 10 minutes behind. So yeah, you are correct. I'm looking at it right now. Rose is plus 550. Åberg is 6-1.
I love that's our guarantee. We will give you live-ish odds.
Live-ish. Hey, we will read the live ones. Okay, we're trying our best. We're trying our best at the graphics.
Bryson DeChambeau is obviously in the mix as well. I just want to say this: Daniel Berger.
Let's go, Berger.
Daniel Berger is six strokes back, two under for the tournament. That could be a little problem. We want to track the rest of the way, if you know what I mean.
60-1 on Berger.
Yeah.
This is, I don't even know where you want to start, Gil, but the current odds board is fascinating to me because I think there are some enticing numbers out there on some enticing players, but with Scottie Scheffler right there at 4 under par, Justin Rose 4 shots clear of everybody right now.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard to make a bet in the outright market.
Well, I did.
You did in the outright market?
Yeah, I made a couple bets. I made a few bets yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah,
that's right. Keep in mind, there was a point yesterday, and we all had this thought, especially when Scottie Scheffler sunk that 60-footer, where we're like, okay, is Scottie Scheffler just going to run away with this? Like, there was a moment where, like, is this Masters just going to be a Scottie Scheffler coronation tour here? I went ahead and bet to, this is overnight now, I went back in on McIlroy. Well, we'll get to Rory here in a minute. Went back in on Rory, who I was pre-flop on to at, like, I think plus 775. I got him at 14-1 after round one. Rory started the round 7 back. He's now 8 back. And for best round 2 score, I did go for the two preflop favorites of the tournament. I went with Rory and Scottie Scheffler plus 1850, 12-1 respectively for the best score today.
I like those.
Now, here's the thing. I get that the Rory bet might just be putting bad money after bad money. I get that that's possible. On the other hand, and you and I talked a little bit about this before the show, the amount of overreaction we see from folks to what has happened in one day, even like few holes, let alone one day yesterday, was just ridiculous, right?
And he was awesome for 14 holes.
For 14 holes, I felt pretty smart yesterday adding Rory to the mix. He was great. He was 4 under through 14, and he was in a tie for second place. If he pars out the rest of the way yesterday, he's also in a tie for second. Well, guess what? Rory did some Rory Augusta things. On 15, he bounded the ball past the hole into a treacherous area on 15 where you do not want to be because you don't want to have that pitch. And sure enough, he bounced it past the hole into the drink. And then after a penalty stroke and a wedge and two putts, it was a double bogey at 15. And at 17, he went past the hole as well and three putted. So again, a double bogey. So he had an up and down on 18 to maintain even for the day. And that's what ended up happening. So double bogey 15, double bogey 17, instead of being 4 under, even for round number one.
He was shook after 15, man. That hole played so hard yesterday, and it's a genius hole. You set up as a par 5. Yeah, I mean, I love any course that does this, but obviously Augusta, one of the best in the world. But it's a risk-reward approach shot on that second shot. And you see a lot of guys that leave that out to the right, and you're like, wow, that was a terrible shot coming in. Like, you left it way out there. It's because you get a safer chip into that green that slants so far down towards the water, Gil. And if anybody who's sitting at home watching Patrick Cantlay, as soon as I saw Rory put it over the green, I'm like, he's going to do exactly what Cantlay did. Because it's too enticing for those guys to say, to look at themselves and say, it's not that hard of a chip shot. I'm going to put this close to the hole. I'll go up there and knock in the putt. And that just hits that glass green and just runs off into the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was shook after that.
He was shook after that. But here's the thing. Okay. It's early yet, right? Rory, if he's the guy we think he is this year, and again, Rory has won two big tournaments, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am this year and the Players. This is the first time he's ever won two tournaments headed into Augusta in a calendar year. If he is the golfer we think he is, there's plenty of time to bounce back here. Plenty of golf to be played. On the other hand, it's the cautionary line that I used with you and Matt on the Beating the Book Masters pod, which is, or is this just in his head as this is his 11th try to win the career Grand Slam? And maybe after that yesterday it is. I don't know. You have a matchup you made.
I do. I think that's a great way to talk about it, though, because the overreaction for me is everybody jumping to that conclusion already.
Yes.
And it's, well, he played 14 really good holes. I'm not saying for sure it's not in his head anymore, Gil, but look, can we give it another round or two? We'll find out a lot more how he responds today.
That's right.
One tournament matchup for me, Ludvig Åberg over Xander Schauffele. Look, Åberg, I think, looked incredible. He's a guy that you really just been waiting to put it together more consistently here, and really why he stayed off of my betting card heading into the tournament. But a great first round, and when this guy is locked in, he's one of the best on the tour. Xander still looks like he's trying to find it out there a little bit. So at only -115, I thought that was a good round two matchup bet.
And Josie Lewis Ballester, that is your real name. Maybe you take your business elsewhere next time. NBA Awards, done or not done next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
As always, check out our website, vsin.com. So much happened in there. Masters Round 1 recap and Round 2 picks. Greg Peterson's Major League Baseball best bets. Lou Finocchiaro's UFC 314 picks. Gambaloo's got some thoughts. And later today, you can check out Steve Mackinnon's NBA analytics report, Zach Cohen's NBA best bets, Adam Burke's MLB picks. Right now, you can sign up for our summer special for only $59 for full VSIN Pro access until August 1st. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. People just want to talk about golf. Really, it's the week.
It's glorious. It was so glorious. Awesome yesterday.
We leave the show. We're like, hey, should we put up any social clips? I'm like, people just want to watch the Masters.
Yeah.
They don't want to watch anything else.
Although the golf really has to do something about pace of play stuff. Like, it's I can't believe I'm going to say this, but take a lesson from Major League Baseball already. Like, there's only 95 guys in this tournament.
Yeah.
It still takes, like, what, 11 hours to play around? You could watch golf forever yesterday and today.
Yeah, it's true. Trip Tepper. Rory's chip into the pond at 15 yesterday magnified the biggest issue I've had with him for a decade. Rory desperately needs a veteran caddy. Contrast how Ted Scott and Scheffler played 15 with how Rory and his caddy completed mismanaged 15.
This is what Dave Ross and I were talking about, right, as he was walking out of it. If you saw Scheffler, how he played 15 yesterday, it was, we're going to put it on the green. We know we're going to leave it 20 feet short, but guess what? We're going to be on the green, and we're not going to be in the water.
Well, we're not going to have disaster holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You get two of those, there's your round. Chris Heath, nobody's adding Jason Day at 66-1, he asks.
That one is tempting. Jason Day, under the radar, really good golf this year. I've got another one I didn't bring up. I told Gil during the break, Corey Connors, I was really high on coming into the tournament. I've got big bets on him for top 20s. I had over 20-1. It is tempting with a guy who's right there and historically should have brought this up for a second. So we go back last 20 years. It's 19 of the last 20 years here in the top 10 after round one if you're going to go on and win the Masters. I think you can bring that back to about one under even par with really just having Justin Rose out to that one big lead.
Yeah, what do we say? It's not a catch-up course.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard to play catch-up. So with Connors right there, man, is that price tempting. The problem is Corey Connors doesn't win. Wins at one course.
So there is that. Jason Day, by the way, six back as we speak right now. He has yet to tee off on the day. Six back behind the leader, Justin Rose, who's 8-under. Through four holes, of his second round.
Sungjae Im, 2-under through two. He's
yeah.
at 3-under for the tournament now, Gil. If he goes and does anything this week, It will be a shocker only because Sung Jae-im seemed to have completely forgotten how to play golf for most of this season.
Come on, Berger, make this interesting.
That would be awesome.
I've nary a dollar on him.
You should take a piece in blood.
I should. Actually, we both should.
I have him in matchups.
In the year of Todd Golden, yes, I should. NCI 95 Gambler, what do you think about Ludvig Åberg first round yesterday? I had him 28-1, his first round leader. Almost got there. Greetings from 30,000 feet in the air on the way to Las Vegas. All right, man. Travel safely.
Berger's 75-1 right now.
That's kind of tempting. Where are you seeing the 75-1?
DraftKings. Extremely tempting.
Got to mule that one out.
Well, I mean, Caesar probably has similar price.
Similar, yeah.
What was the question about Åberg? He's awesome. I bet him today.
What do you think about Åberg? He had him 28-1 first round leader.
Yeah, yesterday. He almost got there. It's the, like, I believe long term, Åberg we're talking about when we go PGA Tour, when we're power ranking guys, it is like Scheffler, Rory, Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and like Ludvig Åberg belongs right there in that same sentence to me. In about a year, probably.
There is one name we forgot to mention, and we'd be remiss if we didn't. Sepp Straka, our guy, 6 over yesterday. Talk about just 2 horrible holes.
That's the one dead one. Like, you know, like most bets you can't lose day one, Gil. This one we lost.
You can't win the Masters on day one, but you sure can lose it.
Yep.
Sepp Straka, dead on arrival.
It's still tough, man. We were talking about it during the break. Two holes, a double on 9 and a triple on 11.
Yeah, it's all it takes, man. It's golf. All right, NBA awards. These, again, we searched far and wide for these this morning. I don't think they're up anymore, anywhere. Because now when you look at awards, it's all about NBA Finals MVP, Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals MVP. But we just want to pronounce some of these dead or some of these still alive. So, Kelly, you actually have the last available odds that we saw. Maybe they will put these up today, right? Maybe from the time we've gotten in the studio.
Knows?
Maybe they'll put them back up. This is the one that is clearly, and when we talked with Montesano, was it yesterday with Montesano?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the days run into each other. This is the one that is the most debatable still. Defensive player of the year. Draymond Green is minus 400. He keeps drifting upwards. Evan Mobley, who was the sort of de facto, along with Jaren Jackson Jr., was the de facto, let's just make him the short shot once Wembanyama had the deep vein thrombosis and was taken off the board. Evan Mobley was the de facto new short shot along with Triple J. He's at 4-1, is Mobley. Dort for the Thunder is 7-1. He sort of, pardon me, stabilized. He got down to as low as 5-1 in some spots, but 7-1 consensus. Dyson Daniels, 35-1. The aforementioned Jaren Jackson Jr. at 80-1. And Zubats, who was it Zach Cohen who loves Zach Cohen was like, Zubats should be the defensive player. He's 100-1. And we're not even listing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander anymore.
I won't say that, Brendan, if you could flip back to that defensive, because we can't look at the odds. So I'm not going to say Zoo should be. He should be way up there in the conversation. That's I bet him at 40-1 or 50-1 as soon as Wemby went out. I thought he should be right there. Look, this is – I kind of want to approach this, Gil, from the – look, are the big favorites in these markets, are they going to win this? Or if you have a ticket on someone else, is there still life? This one, to me,
there's still life.
There is still a lot of life. And I'm talking, if you've got a Mobley, Dort, Daniels ticket, do not be ripping them up at all yet. Because I have heard different things from different voters.
Again, for those who are new to betting, these are awards voted on by humans.
Yes.
We have no idea what the market really is, right? We don't. It's just that as bettors, we've been staring at this. We've been so close to the sun on these markets for so long that our brain tends to then transform them into reality of some sort. They might not be in any way a reflection of reality. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, in this market, if you told me you were betting Mobley as meh as that choice seems to be, or Dort, I wouldn't tell you not to.
Yep.
I wouldn't.
I mean, I've heard voters say on pods and interviews that both of those guys that they're going with. And just and Dyson Daniels, look, I think most improved player he's going to be up there for, but caught this note last night. Last 4 players with over 225 steals in a season, Gil. Dyson Daniels
mm-hmm.
joins Gary Payton, Scottie Pippen, and John Stockton.
Wow.
It's quite a list.
Wow, what a list. Rookie of the Year, Dunzo, right? Stephon Castle,
yes.
-1400. Zachary Risache, who was the pre-flop short shot, will not win this, correct?
I think there are some people that would disagree with me here that they think Risache and Sarr still have a chance here. I think it's over. Yeah. I think Castle wins this. The amount of usage he's had since Wemby's gone out, the counting stats, I think will be good enough to take it.
I kind of feel like the rest of these are done. Maybe not coach, but let's go to the next one. First of all, let me just say, we didn't even get to MVP. MVP at the top is done, right? SGA is winning this, right? Yes?
Pretty sure.
Jokic 10-1, Shea -3,000 at this point.
I won't be shocked if it's a closer vote than we think, though.
I wouldn't be shocked at that.
I think Shea's winning, though, yes.
Okay. And then Clutch. Talk to me about Clutch. Player of the year, because this is the one that I'm sorry, guys. It's Clutch. Jalen Brunson is now your favorite for Clutch Player of the Year, -185. Jokic is +180, and then Anthony Edwards 15-1, everybody longer. Clutch Player of the Year, Trae Young, who we've talked about in this category a lot of times, is 20-1.
I'm gonna get burnt. Trae doesn't have, I think he's out. I actually think this is done. This is the one we talked about when I was making Trae Young bets, and Michael Montesano was as well, and Trudinzik was as well. We were talking about all the time, all the clutch time minutes that Trae Young was getting, and at the time was having good averages. The team record was pretty good. The problem is the Hawks, because they're so mid, have continued to live in those clutch time minutes, but the stats and wins have only gotten, or losses have only racked up and only gotten, stuff has only gotten worse for Trae. Meanwhile, Jalen Brunson went on about a 5-week heater of just killing it in games and doing it all in clutch minutes and him getting the ball every single time, Gil. And then he got hurt and went out for a while, and I think he just locked it up then. Jokic is back in this mix on the odds board. But, Gil, we brought this up at the time when I was making Trae Young bets. I still don't think he belongs up there when you go to look at the clutch time stats. We're just looking for some other way to give Nikola Jokic an award. I actually think this is done. At -185, I think Brunson, you're good if you got a Brunson ticket.
You showed a lot of Riz using mid there, by the way. NBA Thanks, Clutch man. Player of the Year, an award given to the NBA player who, quote, best comes through for his teammates in the clutch, unquote. Boy, that's a really vague definition.
Well, they have the NBA Clutch Time definition.
They do, yeah. Most improved, Dunzo, correct? Most improved, over?
Oh, I don't. I think this is
Dyson
another.
Daniels -500, Cade +350.
No, I think this is still more open than the odds would indicate. I have a Cade Cunningham ticket. I think I'm still very live to win this.
Okay, so that one's still in play then. God, this is the award where I had Norman Powell and Drew had Franz Wagner. And then Coach of the Year is still up for grabs, or is that done?
I think it's up for grabs. Yeah, I think it's up for grabs.
But it's a mano between Bickerstaff and Atkinson.
I agree with that.
Okay. Okay. Some dead, some not. Better than I thought, actually. UFC 314, Jordan Sherwood next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. With promo code ANG.
ANG is an A Numbers Game.
Deposit $25 at Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. ML Dogs on Twitter says, Sepp Straka cash out 59 cents. Why, yes, thank you very much.
Is that for the outright? Yeah. So, again, we've discovered another use for the cash out option that can be very, very helpful.
The walk of shame cash out. Yeah, I'll take 59 cents. Yep. Thanks very much. UFC 314 in Miami tomorrow. And Jordan Sherwood is always a joy to have, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast for ESPN Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. We bring him on now to discuss, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm good, and thanks for having me, guys. But yeah, we finally have arrived at like a big time fight card, a big time fight week, a lot of interesting matchups, a lot of notable names. The UFC's kind of been void of that for a few weeks now, so it's always nice to talk to you because that means there's a big time fight card.
Can I ask you about right before? I know you don't have a play on this one, but this is right before the co-main and the main. Is Bryce Mitchell against Gian Silva? Silva's a big favorite here, -218. But Bryce Mitchell, for those who are casual fans, might be known to most for some off the uh, off the octagon comments he's made, and Dana White immediately just slapping him down and saying, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but I'm a free speech guy. We're not going to sanction him. But the beauty of this sport is that you get to see him get his butt, he said something else, kicked in the ring. You have any thoughts on this? Is Bryce Mitchell, in fact, going to meet his fate here?
Well, I mean, if John Silva, you know, continues to live up to the hype and perform to the level that he has, I mean, it's been four UFC appearances and four knockouts. He's one of the hottest fighters currently in the sport. He's coming from the gym of the year, the Fighting Nerds, all of them on unbelievable hot streaks right now. One issue for me just came up. He missed weight. He missed weight about 35, 40 minutes ago. Not sure if he's going to weigh in again, if he had a tough weight cut, if he's masking an injury or something, but he did miss weight. That's certainly notable. This is also John Silva's toughest matchup. He's never faced a guy that's been in the top 10, and he's also has struggled to some degree with grapplers, guys that could take him down, guys with less credentials than a Bryce Mitchell have taken him down. Now, certainly John Silva has gotten up and then knocked their lights out, but I certainly believe that we're probably going to get a similar result because John Silva, I think, is a special talent. Bryce Mitchell is very, very amateurish from a striking standpoint, and obviously every fight starts on the feet. So to get that price down, I would say a small sprinkle on John Silva via knockout. I think that he, despite the weight cut, I don't think there's anything wrong. He's going to shine bright tomorrow night and continue this meteoric rise that he has.
Okay. Bryce Mitchell has since apologized for his comments just to be journalistic about it.
Good job.
Thank you very much. Okay, main event. Alexander Volkanovski, minus 142 is what we're showing, versus Diego Lopez. But this is really, this line has been interesting, Jordan. It's gone from minus 50 roughly on Volkanovski. Crashed, I don't know if crash is the right word, but it fell down to minus 125. Now it's kind of back up at minus 150 in spots that I'm looking at. And this kind of comes down to, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is what do you really believe? Do you believe more recency on Volkanovski? Two losses. Some would argue he took them with not very much rest. Now he has rest. Is that the more important part of this, or is his general body of work career-wise more important here? I guess that's where you start with this.
Yeah, and I think the thing to note too with those two KO losses, it was against Islam Makhachev, who's probably the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet, and Ilya Topuria, who is up there in the rankings, just gave up his featherweight title to now go after the lightweight strap. So it's not like he's getting knocked out by bums. He did the smart thing. Yes, taking the time off. He hasn't fought since February of last year, but he's now fighting a guy that's a power puncher that comes like a bat out of hell, that has a unbelievable Brazilian jiu-jitsu game that we haven't even seen yet, and has at least answered some question marks about cardio. Now, this is a five-round fight. Volkanovski has been living and dying by five-round championship fights, and this is the type of fighter typically Alexander Volkanovski defeats. The line is flipped, as you said, Gil. My recommendation on this fight, if you want to play it and play it before it starts, you play Diego Lopez. You play Diego Lopez because he's an excellent first-round, second-round fighter, and you question mark about the chin. Is Volkanovski's chin still there? Because that's when that goes, it goes. But if you want to be on the Volkanovski side, you wait. You wait until you bet this live. You can maybe probably get a better price because there are still question marks. Can Lopez go into the deeper rounds, rounds four, rounds five, that Volkanovski has been doing his entire career? So that's my recommendation. It's Lopez now at that plus 120 price, because I also believe he's a special talent, but Volkanovski is one of the best we've ever seen, and he likely takes over the fight as it goes into the later rounds.
All right, pre-flop Diego Lopez from Jordan. Does some of that also apply to the co-main, Michael Chandler and Patty Pimblett? I would imagine the shorter this is, the more it favors Chandler, but then the longer it goes, it swings.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to remember, too, this is a five-round fight in the co-main event slot. The issue that I have with Patty Pimblett is that he's been hit in, like, every fight that he's been in the UFC. And to this point, it hasn't derailed him. He's beaten everybody that's been in front of him, although you could argue he did lose to Jared Gordon, but that's beside the point. If he gets touched up and hit by Michael Chandler, he's going to sleep. Michael Chandler has power in both hands, has been in there with the best of the best, has a wrestling game that maybe we look to and he relies on as well. And I don't think Patty Pimblett is at that level yet. This is a dramatic step up in competition. I'm not worried about the age that, people are bringing up about Michael Chandler. This is an excellent opportunity to put his name back in the, in place of championship consideration. So for me, I like Michael Chandler in this fight. I think that he's not going to be threatened by the hype around Patty Pimblett and the takedown prowess. I think Chandler can keep this fight in the feet and land something and change people's thoughts about one Patty Pimblett.
Also on the main card, and this I lied earlier. I said Bryce Mitchell and John Silva was right before the main and the co-main, but it's actually Yair Rodriguez and Patricio Pitbull. Pitbull, not his real last name, Kelly. She probably knows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not his real name. Wow. You like Rodriguez by decision here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, Pitbull's probably one of the best fighters that hasn't competed in the UFC. He's won championships everywhere he's gone. Good boxer, got a little bit of a wrestling game. And it just, for some reason, he hasn't been able to land in the UFC. Now he's there, but he's 37 years of age. And just stylistically, the kicks and the striking that Yair Rodriguez brings and just the momentum he brings into this, I think is overwhelming for a lot of people. And, you know, Patricio Pitbull has certainly been in there with guys similar to Yair Rodriguez, but I think the speed is going to be a little bit too much. So I like Yair Rodriguez in this fight, but I want to get that price tag down. So I like him. I think this goes into the judges' scorecards, and I think Rodriguez via decision at plus money. I think he's just going to be too quick, too fast, and keep this fight standing and at distance where Yair Rodriguez is going to have a decisive advantage.
We do have some an update from the ANG MMA expert in the back, Bobby Knuckles, let me inform me that Silva just attempted a second weigh-in and made weight at 146 successfully.
There you go. This is the one I'm actually most interested in hearing you talk about, which is on the preliminary card, strawweight, women's strawweight, Jan Zionan against Virna Jandiroba. Jandiroba is the favorite here, but her opponent has a lot going for her in terms of height and reach. How did you land on Jandiroba here?
Yeah, well, I landed on because what we know about Jan Yaldan is the fact that she succumbs to takedowns. And she's been put on her back a lot of times. I mean, where she's going to want this fight is on the feet. She's an outstanding kickboxer, great speed, very technical, and showed that a little bit in her fight when she fought for the belt against Weili Zhang. But she also got taken down in a fight and nearly submitted. If she gets taken down against Jandiroba, she's going to go to sleep. Jandiroba is one of the best grapplers and submission artists we have in women's mixed martial arts. She's ever evolving as a striker as well. So I think at some point, she's going to land a takedown and be able to take the back and likely choke Jandiroba out. So I think not only just straight up money line, Jandiroba is going to win this fight and fight for the title next, but plus money at her as submission. I think I'd seen it plus 250 for her to win on that prop. I think that's definitely in play because Jandiroba is one of the best submission artists we have.
All right, and then the only fight in the main card we didn't talk about, Nikita Krylov and Dominic Reyes. How are you betting this?
Yeah, I'm betting it based on trends right now. Krylov has had a shoulder injury that put him out. He hasn't fought in well over a year and a half. And guys that are coming off of extremely long layoffs, and maybe that also holds true then for the Volkanovski fight, have lost. We've seen that with Josh Emmett. We saw that with Rafael Viziev, Marvin Vettori, all guys that are fighting in big fights the past couple of events. Just not the same. You can't mirror what you do in training camp when you get into the octagon. So I think Dominic Reyes is back to being that championship level type of light heavyweight that maybe challenges for the title again. I think he just overwhelms Krylov at some point. So I like the under, I think, because both guys are finishers. But if you're asking me to pick a guy, I'm taking the dog. I'm taking Dominic Reyes, the dominator, to continue this second 2.0 version of him and get the win.
All right, Jordan, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the fights. Good luck on all the bets.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
And once again, a UFC card like this, Kelly, for those on the West Coast, it all begins. The early prelims begin at 3 p.m. Pacific.
Whew.
It's always earlier than you think. Jason Weingarten with all his bets next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN at the track. The road to the Kentucky Derby is live today and every Friday leading up to the Triple Crown with key Derby prep races this weekend. We're breaking down the top contenders for this year's Run for the Roses. Join experts Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman today at 2:10 p.m. Eastern on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live for expert analysis and insights. Don't miss it. VSiN at the track, streaming live 2:10 Eastern. 2:10 p.m. Eastern, Kelly. Not 2:09, not 2:11, 2:10.
That's right. Be there on time.
So we count down to the triple crown, baby. Skill Alexander.
Samish doesn't let you in if you're late.
He does not.
He kicks you out of the YouTube page.
Jason, Ice Cold Gambler, said, is the ANG Army riding with the over 9.5 runs of the Mets-A's game tonight? No, cover that already, Jason. I am not, because it's two ground ball pitchers starting this game.
That's right. Plus, Gil and I are making way more intelligent bets right now.
That's right. I might have just bet Daniel Berger. What's my number, Kelly?
80 down to 75-1. That means he's good.
75-1. Daniel Berger.
But I'm still trying to figure out where we're getting limited at.
Keep your eye on Daniel Berger, if you know what I mean.
That number I told you in the break just keeps going down, down, down.
Justin Rose did bogey the fifth hole, so he is back to his 7-under, which is where he started this round, atop the leaderboard at Augusta. So he's at 7-under through six holes of his second round. Ludvig Åberg has parred the first two holes. He remains three strokes back, as do Corey Connors and Scotty Scheffler, who have yet to tee off. Sungjae Im, 2-under for the day, is at 3-under. Bryson DeChambeau, also at 3-under, four strokes back. Tyrrell Hatton, who's yet to tee off, also at 3-under, four strokes back. And then it's Berger, Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland, Ashke Bhatia, on and on and
Let's
on.
Let's go,
Shane, Shane Lowry. Also
Let's go,
there.
Lowry.
By the way, did I just go Ashke? Yeah, Akshay Bhatia. Pardon me. I always do that with him.
You're in. You're in, buddy. Thank you. We're in on Daniel Berger. You know how much you got down?
How much?
$40.
That's all they gave? Never mind. That's the point of that. Kelly's like, how much you want? I was like, how much can you give me?
I was like, we'll
the question
find out.
Is how much will they give us?
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous. Rory McIlroy did birdie hole number two, so he's 1-under. Let's go, Rory. Get right back in it, baby. Plenty of golf to be played. Steady as she goes. And we mentioned this yesterday. I did with Crack when Crack was with us. Matt McCarty. Don't even know his name, right?
And if you're following on the leaderboard, don't confuse with Denny McCarthy.
That's right. You don't want to do that. Matt McCarty, who started the round six strokes behind Justin Rose. He was 1-under in round number one. The reason I bring him up, you're like, why do you care about Matt McCarty? Brought it up with Crack yesterday. Mike Palm was on By the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis yesterday. He was talking about liability here at Circa. Mm-hmm. And we don't really pay attention to liability that much. It's not really something that fascinates me. But Mike Palm told a story about how someone who had some sort of insight or maybe some relationship.
It was with, a relationship. Yeah. I forget the exact, like a sponsor
it was a
or something.
Referral to them, and he wanted to put $10,000 down on Matt McCarty to win $8 million to win the tournament. Right. And, you know, Circa takes bets, but even there, like, well, it'd be responsible if anybody could, you know, win anything as remote of a possibility as it might seem. We're not going to be on the hook for $8 million. But they did give him a quarter of that. So they're on the hook for $2 million if McCarty ends up winning the Masters. He started out the second round immediately, right? He immediately doubled.
I think it was even more than that.
What's
that? It was three.
No, $2
million. Two? Okay.
Yeah. He immediately double bogeys the first hole, and then he bogeys the third hole, the second hole. So right out of the chute, he's 2-over for the tournament.
And you can hear the roars from the Circus Sportsbook.
Yeah, well, they're probably like, yeah, probably won't even make the cut. We're so cool. We're not going to be on the hook for $2 million. Well, guess what he's done the last three holes?
Really?
Birdie. He's back to 1-under.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. So he's back to 6 behind the leader, Justin Rose. So just a guy to keep an eye on. For those who might be interested in such things.
Got to give the books a sweat on the weekend, too.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Yeah, a little sweat. Jason Weingarten joins us now from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Look at this man. Dashing, as always. Engaged. Engaged to his girlfriend. How's that going, by the way? Still engaged?
Yeah. Going well.
And they said it wouldn't last, Jason. They didn't say that. Just some people say. Did you end up making any Masters bets? Or who are you sweating here?
I started betting a little bit live yesterday after everyone teed off. Played first round leader when Justin Rose looked like he was running away with it. I bet a little bit on Corey Connors. I got like 17-1, 18-1. See if he has a good day today. Otherwise, I'll probably just keep playing round by round stuff live. I do like live betting the first round, second round leader stuff live if I'm watching. And I am watching. I got the Masters on right behind me here, actually. But, yeah, it's probably what I'll be doing most of the day is watching the Masters, maybe go to the market, get some pimento.
Is there anything better than watching the Masters? Honestly,
great.
In our full lazy on the couch eating a sandwich mail mode, is there anything better than this?
I thought I was going to get to the gym yesterday. What a joke that was.
Yeah.
The gym.
The gym. It's hilarious. You bet anything in baseball today, Jason?
Yeah, I got a couple bets today. Baltimore -123 with one of my favorite guys, Tomoyuki Sugano, on the mound. Looking forward to watching him pitch today. Other than that, got a small play on the Giants. I got Robbie Ray +114 versus Marcus Stroman and the Yankees. Marcus Stroman, not one of my favorite pitchers. I think getting Robbie Ray here as a dog is pretty decent. And then my third game, I got Texas Rangers -122 versus the Seattle Mariners with Jacob DeGrom on the ground for the Rangers. I actually got to look this up. I wonder when the last time we saw DeGrom, the short of a favorite, was.
But, yeah, that's a good point. I'm curious, as a non-Dodgers fan, as you are very clear to state to everybody, non-Dodgers fan, don't make that mistake, people, that he's a Dodgers fan. Which is the team? Diamondbacks, Padres, Giants. Which is the one that you are, if I give you truth serum, most worried about long term?
Not the Padres. Maybe the Diamondbacks, because, you know, they got frontline starters like Gallen and Burns. And the reality is, if you're going to beat the Dodgers, you need to do it with your starting pitching going long. You get into a bullpen game versus the Dodgers, you're probably in for a bad time. But, I do kind of like the Diamondbacks. I always say, like, I brought this up a couple times, but they don't get a lot of respect for a team that was in the World Series just, you know, two seasons ago. Corbin Carroll looks like he's back and healthy and past his shoulder problem. So a lot of things to like there. If I was worried about a team, in the NL West, it'd probably be the Diamondbacks.
Was it yesterday? Was it -340 for the Dodgers to win 100 games?
Yeah.
Would you make that bet? At 10-4, would you make that bet -340? I ask you because this might come up later on the show.
I think they're probably going to get pretty close to that 100 win mark, if not fly through it. But like you saw this week, they went on the road and they lost 2-3 to the Nationals. That doesn't mean they're a bad team, you know. Sometimes you go on the road and you're distracted by going to the White House and you just don't play up to the competition all the time. So, I don't know. I'm not dying to play those extreme sort of edge bets where you got to either win or lose a ton of games. And, you know, like you already saw, Dodgers lost Blake Snell already. So pitching doesn't last all season for good teams or bad teams at this point. I'm just not going to lay 340 on something like that.
All right. Jason, the audio is a little janky, so we're going to let you go early, but we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you later.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Threw in a little baseball, a few baseball bets. Again, everybody's bets, hosts, guests, every sport, VSiN.com/picks. Ludwig Ober has birdied the third hole here in his second round. Yep. He is in sole possession of second place. By the way, Bryson DeChambeau birdied the second hole, so he is in sole possession of, no, not in sole possession, but he now is in a three-way tie for third place at 4-under with the yet-to-tee-off Corey Connors and Scottie Scheffler.
Those are two guys to watch this weekend. I thought both looked impressive yesterday, DeChambeau and Oberg.
Oberg, this is his second Masters. His debut was last year, and he was a runner-up, wasn't he?
Yeah, to win Scottie Scheffler.
Here he is currently a runner-up.
Shane Lowry birdie. He's 1-under through two.
A little fist bump, a little Kirk Gibson fist bump for you.
Rory.
Did he do it again?
He birdied. We got one birdie. I mean,
I already mentioned that one. Yeah, he's 1-under for the tournament.
Keep in mind, though, that the first few holes in the front nine play easier than the back nine. I feel like there was a lot of that excitement yesterday, like when the tournament first starts, like, yeah!
Before we bring in Felik and Fezzik here, when Jason mentioned that he took some Corey Connors yesterday, I felt your pain. Because isn't he the guy right now where you're like, if he wins this, you don't have as much as you want on him?
No, I'm loaded up on a top 20 play on him. He is someone, Gil, I'm glad you bring it up. He is someone, though, from a betting standpoint, I've gotten very comfortable with betting how I'm going to bet. If he wins, I'll be okay with missing out on it. Although, like I said earlier, that price was very tempting. I completely understand why Jason would have made that bet. I'm good with just a placement market on him. Okay.
All right. There you go. Felica, Fezzik, Chris Felica from Fox Sports next. All his plays. I know he's got some season longs. Oh, excuse me, not some season longs, but he's got some Masters plays for guys who have yet to tee off. Maybe he's got some season longs. I don't know. And Fezzik next. Numbers game.